Welcome to the weekly podcast of Soul Purpose Evangelical Church, located in the city of Middletown, New York. Today's message will be brought to you by our senior pastor, Reverend Albert Feliciano Sr. Each week, we stream our live recorded services to encourage, build up, and edify our listening audience. Our aim is to share with you the uncompromised and infallible word of the living God. Our prayer is that today's message will draw you closer in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And now, here is Pastor Albert with today's word.
Saints of the Most High God, part three, today's message, the I am statements. Jesus said, I am the door, plain and simple. We're going to be reading this morning from the book of John, chapter 10, and there's three small verses, 7 through 10. Amen. John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10, and the word of the Lord says, Then Jesus said to them again, Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Hallelujah. How many sheep only recognize the voice of the Lord, the shepherd? I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Somebody say in and out. Praise God. The thief does not come except to steal and kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Glory to God. Saints of God, you may take your seats this morning in the presence of the living God. Let's go. Praise the Lord. You don't have to buckle up yet, but pretty soon I'll let you know when the time comes. Amen. Today, the Lord Jesus Christ reveals himself the third way in a life-changing and powerful way. This morning's message, the I am declaration of Jesus, is when he says of himself, I am the door. Jesus taught great spiritual truths while he walked on earth, and many of them he did so simply. Sometimes it's not so complicated to understand. There were deep and profound statements that Jesus made, but many of them are so easily understood that we just kind of glance over it and walk on and keep on going without giving it too much mind. But Jesus here is revealing himself to the entire world, the Holy Trinity of God, his identity, his nature. We heard him say in the first portion of this series, I am the bread of life. He also said, and we heard him say, I am the light of the world. How many have been enjoying this? Praise the Lord. Light stepped into darkness and he showed us the path and how clearly and easily he explained these deep things. And today he says, I am the door specifically of the sheep. He's not necessarily the door for everything. He's the door for the sheep. Amen. Jesus is the doorway for God's sheep to enter into. Praise God. But before you could enter through the door, you need to be part of the sheepfold. This is a simple, straightforward message of salvation to all the sheep that hear the voice of the shepherd. Let's begin. Let's dive right in. Jesus said, I am the door. Say it out loud. Christ is the door. Praise God. Yes, sir. A door is for exiting and a door is for entering. We have to exit out of our old way and enter into the new way. Jesus is the door. Jesus is calling himself not just a door, but the door. It's very important you understand that. If Jesus would have said, I am a door, that would imply that there are multiple and numerous ways to get into heaven. And there are many preachers out there that are afraid to stand up to the media, to the interviewers. They're afraid of Oprah Winfrey. They're afraid of CNN. They're afraid of the cancel culture. And when they say, and they're afraid of even the Jewish brethren. when they say, oh, are you telling me that there's no other way to get into heaven but through Jesus? Huh? Are you really? Huh? Are you really telling me that? Huh? Well, you know, I believe there are many paths, you know. Get it together. No, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Jesus is the way. There is no other way. He's the only way to heaven. He said, no man gets to the Father but through me. Praise God. Tell me, did Muhammad die for you? Did Buddha die for you? Did any of these Hare Krishna, did any of these go to the cross? Did anyone die to atone for my sin? Does any other God desire to live inside of me? Does anybody want me? No. There are many people that are hoping to get to glory, to get to nirvana, to get to some place, a fictional place. Jesus is the way and the only way. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Praise God. And I didn't stutter. Stutter. I'm serious. John 14, 6. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God. He says it all the time in the Word of God. If it wasn't so, I would not have told you. Remember, Jesus is truth. So the words that come out of his mouth can only be truth. He is the physical personification of truth. Praise God. That makes me want to run around the room. Praise God. But by saying this very statement, millions of people, maybe billions, millions of people, billions over centuries, have hated Jesus Christ. Because he of himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Because of that statement, there are countless people that hate God, hate Jesus, and try to minimize the deity, the role, the power, the Godhead of Jesus Christ. Here's what I got to say to that. Hate on, haters. Praise God. Because nothing changes the facts. Praise God. You don't have to like the facts, but it's not going to change the facts. That's why the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You either serve him now and submit to the lordship of Christ, or one day you're going to stand before him and be fearful when you should be fearing him now. You're going to fear him then when he says, depart from me, I never knew you. I'm talking today, praise God. Praise the Lord. Christ is the door to forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. Those who trust him exit condemnation. Praise God. And enter into commendation. Amen. Praise God. There's a big difference. Went right over your head. You exit condemnation. That means judgment, fires of hell, eternal damnation. And you enter into commendation. That means reward, blessing, favor, peace, harmony. And you enter into glory. Hallelujah. Jesus is the door. He is the door to forgiveness. John 3, 17. It says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Through him means go through him, through the door, so that you would be saved. Those who trust in him, they enter into justification. That means when you are justified, it means you are completely made whole, like if you never sinned a single day in your life. That means your slate is clean. Praise God. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I was talking about this just a few moments ago. When you have that divine encounter, when you have a divine relationship with the Lord, there's a peace that satisfies. There's a peace that is overflowing. There's a peace that overwhelms you even in the midst of your darkest trial. Praise God. Like right now, we've moved already 4 times. We're in a place now, we have to do some preparatory work and all that. It's all good. But we have a place. We're not orphaned. I've got such peace in my heart right now. I've got such peace. I can't even explain the peace that I have. It's I don't even know how to explain it. I sleep good every night. I know that I know that I know that I know God has something bigger, better, more beautiful, because we go from glory to glory, glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to God. Dun, 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 dun. Glory. You can sing it all day long. And it's from stage to stage, everything in Christ. Listen, every trial, every crisis, everything, it takes you deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And the more you go through stuff, the stronger you get. The more you get planted in the Word of God, and the presence of God begins to lift you up. And now when you go through the next crisis, you're like, psh, get in line, take a ticket, get a number, no pushing, no shoving. I'll get to you in a minute. Let me finish my praise. You see, because nothing bothers you anymore. You have a sense of peace that comes from the presence of God. Hallelujah. Christ is the door to life. Those who trust him exit spiritual death. Ephesians 2, verses 1. It says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. When you trust God, you enter into a new life. Praise God. Man, it's quiet up in here. Let me just shout for a minute. Hallelujah! Praise God. When you're dead, when you're dead and you understand that you're dead, in sin, dead in transgression, when you have understood, man, I'm headed to hell. Man, I'm headed to a terrible place. My life is completely out of order. And when you receive the forgiveness of sin, when you receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost, when you receive and you understand and you begin to live in the presence of God, and now you say, I got a new life. There's a new season. It's a new revelation. Something new is happening to me. I don't even understand it, but I feel good. I feel tingly all over. And people come in with hopelessness, with depression, with anxiety. And now you're the one that God uses to bring refreshment, replenishment. You're the one that gets to speak a word of life, the new life that you receive. Now you get to pay it forward. Now you get to share it. Freely you have received, freely you give. It's awesome being a child of the Most High God. 2 Corinthians, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Oh, my God. You got to underline that in your Bible. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Highlight that verse in your Bible and underline old things have passed away. It's so important. You don't miss that. Because sometimes as Christians, we want to still stay and linger in the old things. When you have a new life, that means the old life is dead. That means the old life is gone. That means the old life is deep six feet under, deep six. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You have to die in order to live. The seed has to go to the ground. Unless a seed dies and falls to the ground, it cannot live again. I'm getting somewhere with this. Hallelujah. Christ is the door to heaven. Those who trust him will exit the road, the path to hell, and will enter into the pathway to heaven that leads to life. John 3, 36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. Woo! That means those that are sitting here, and those in your family, and those at your workplace, and those at the job, or whatever the case, those that say, I don't believe in Jesus, that means the wrath of God abides on them. I don't know if you get this. You and I in Christ, the peace of God rests on us. The life of God rests on us. The joy of the Lord rests rest on us. The salvation, the blood of Christ, the tender mercies, the power, the authority, the dominion, the Holy Ghost, it rests on us. But those that don't believe, that don't want, I don't believe that the Bible is true. It was written by man. Yeah, but you believe the paper, the newspaper, it says it's going to rain, you bring an umbrella. You trust in the paper, but you don't trust in the word. The Bible says a fool says in his heart there is no God. But for those that choose not to believe, it's so important because the Bible says that when we're born, God puts his word, the tablet, in our conscience. We all know morals, the right and wrong. We all know the Ten Commandments. We know that it's right, the law of God. So that means in order for someone to not believe, they have to forfeit the conscience. They got to forfeit the law of God. They got to forfeit the way, the truth, and the life. They got to literally eject themselves, exit the door, exit and choose their will over the will of God. That's why the Bible says the wrath of God abides on them. But those who trust in him will enter through the door of eternal life. Praise God. John 5:24. It says, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has what? Everlasting life. And shall not come to judgment. That means the wrath of God. But has passed from death into life. Woo! That should get you excited. Now here we go, guys. It's time to buckle up. Now we're going in. Now I'm going to say some things that might be a little tough to hear, but it's all good. Praise God. I can't even do it. I can't even put sugar on it. I was going to say a little spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. But guess what? I'm giving it to you raw and uncut. Amen. Those in Christ, you're going to love this. It's going to be food. Those outside of Christ are those playing games with Jesus, those that are teeter-tottering on the fence, halfway in, the lukewarm church, it's going to bother you. So I'm preparing you now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Glory, hallelujah. Hey, I'm going to jump down, turn around, touch the ground, praise my Lord. Dun, dun. That's a little Sunday school jam. I pulled it out of the archives. Way down. Praise God. I'm talking like 30 years ago. We used to love that song. Praise God. Are you ready? Praise God. Those that have entered through Christ have not come into judgment, but have passed from death into life. The question is, saints of God, have you truly entered through the door? Think about that. Because many believe they have. Let's see it, what the word says. 1 John 5, 12 through 13. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Does anybody need explanation there? It's pretty straightforward. Siri, go right back to the pit. Hallelujah. Praise God, you AI monster. Praise God. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Listen, eternal life is a present possession. That means it's here now. And it's there waiting for us forever and ever and ever. That means once you come to Christ, you are now an eternal living being. Praise God. Forever and ever. This means we can be assured right now while we sit in our chairs that we have eternal life because we have entered through the right door. Many believe and they sit here thinking that they have entered and they have a sense of security in their heart. And this is where it begins to get a little crazy, especially in the lukewarm church age that we find ourselves in. Because the word of God says in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, casted out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now I'm going to explain this because so often people get confused by these words of Jesus. But let me just say this, that God honors his word. God honors his word. His word is above his name. You've heard me say this 100 times if you've been a member of, or even a visitor of this church. Because if God's word is no good, then his name is no good. If your word is no good, then your name is no good. Men of God, especially, we read about this every week in our curriculum. You've got to honor your word. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Because if you don't do it or you forget, you can't say, oh, my bad. My bad doesn't cover it. That means your word is no good, then your name is no good. And you got to teach your son. Son, honor your word. If you tell your teacher at school you're going to do something, you do it. No matter what. Honor your word. So what happens is many people don't honor their word. God honors his word. That you could find that in Psalm 138, too, just in case. You write that down and you look it up. Many believe because they've done holy things or supernatural things that they are in great standing relationship with God. They believe that because they had some prayer time or they've seen some miracles, or how about this? They might have even been involved in a miracle. They believe in their heart, well, everything is cool with me and JC. Everything is cool. Jesus Christ, JC, and I are just like this. And they don't understand the fact that God honors his word. Just because you've been involved in a prayer group and you've seen somebody delivered of cancer, or you've been involved in a miracle, you've seen somebody's headache go away, or you even see their leg grow out, or you see something, you see a broken finger come back or a tooth growing in the mouth, or all these crazy stuff that we see. And we say, I was involved in that prayer. That means me and Jesus are just like this. And then this verse throws that whole theory out of the water when Jesus says, I never knew you. It's because God performs his word. It doesn't matter who reads the word. It doesn't matter who says the word. But when the word is spoken, when it is declared, the power of God is released through his word, because God honors his word. But it doesn't mean that those that speak the word, it doesn't mean that those that say that through his word have a relationship with Jesus. How can you say this, Pastor? I'll tell you how. Because there are many doors, but some of us choose to walk through the wrong door. We enter and exit doors, and many of the doors that we go through of our own choosing. Here's where it starts to get deep, peeps. The Bible says Jesus is the only door. Jesus said, I am the door, the only door, one door, the only door to get to heaven. Him, he's the door. But we choose all the other doors that are open and available to us. People still walk through other doors of their own accord. Think about this, because it's got to be something you've given great thought to. There are other doors, and these doors are essentially other portals, other dimensions, other access ways. If we ain't walking through the door, we're walking through another door. Huh? And this other door is the door to destruction and the door to all kinds of evil in your life. Spiritual doors or access points, entry points, portals, or dimensions. Literally, there are Christians that are still playing with the very fires of hell.
They continually open the wrong doors, and they're playing spiritual Russian roulette with their life. If you don't know what a Russian roulette is, let me explain that to you. There's a evil, twisted, sick game where they have a gun with six chambers. Isn't it funny? Six chambers, the number of man. And they put one bullet in the chamber, and they spin the gun and click it, and then people put the gun to their head, taking a chance if that bullet gets them or not. It's a literally ridiculous, incredibly stupid game. You're literally playing with fire. Explosion. It's called Russian roulette. And there are Christians playing that game spiritually with their life. If we wouldn't do it in the natural, but why would we think we're not doing it in the spiritual when you're unaware? That's how tricky the devil has crafted the snake lies, that we are so deceived that we don't even know we're playing Russian roulette with our life because of a wrong door. Let me break it down a little bit further. You're going to not like me for a few minutes, but it's all good. Because I can hear it in the atmosphere. Shh. It gets quiet in here. There are so many Christians. I'm not talking about the world right now. I want you to hear what I'm saying. The world does what the world does. The world does evil. That's what the world does. The wrath of God is abiding on them. They don't even know. I'm talking about Christians that have given their heart to Jesus, that have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they're still involved with stuff. Still smoking weed. Still doing drugs. Still drinking alcohol. Mind-altering substances. Now, I'm going to say this because it's true. I'm not against medicine or medication, especially if you've had a surgery and you're in pain. Thank you, son. If you're in surgery or in pain and the doctor prescribes medicine, sometimes it's hallucinogenic or it's mind-altering. Listen, if it's prescribed by your doctor for pain and all that, I don't have a problem with that. The problem is take it under the Spirit of God and say, Lord, protect my mind. Protect as I take this for my recovery, Lord, correct my mind, my thought. Do not allow any sense of addiction, because these opiates, these drug things, they're so addicting. Because you start to feel good. Now, when you don't feel pain anymore, guess what? I don't care if the doctor says take it for a whole month. You stop taking it. Right. When you're not feeling the pain anymore, you're safe to say, okay, now I trust in the Lord. I'm good now. Because what happens is sometimes they want you to get so medicated that you get stuck on it for the rest of your life. Because they got deal with the pharmaceutical companies, and they know everybody makes money. I'm just keeping it real. The whole pharmaceutical company is wicked, corrupt. Can I get back to the message? So there are Christians that are playing with the devil's devices. We're saved on Sunday, but we live like the devil himself Monday through Saturday. I'm going to call this word out. It means pharmakia, is where we get the word pharmacy. Pharmakia is the Greek word. But listen, when you translate the word pharmakia and you look at the meaning, the Bible calls it sorcery and witchcraft. Hallelujah. So the true essence of that word means sorcery and witchcraft. Drugs. Many Christians are still addicted to all kinds of substances, mind-altering substances. Many think that smoking weed is a calming agent. When I say weed, I'm referring to marijuana. You want to keep it real? Let me keep it real. In this church, years ago, we had someone hosting our webpage. This is a real fact. The Lord told me in a dream that this person was smoking weed while they were doing the webpage for us. And this person, I went and said, hey, listen, I gotta ask you to tell me the truth. Because if you're doing this for us, and you're involved in some kind of demonic open portal, we got a problem. Are you smoking weed while you're working on our webpage? Who told you? Who told you? The Spirit of God told me. You think that God has not called me here and that God's not going to tell me when there's some shenanigans going on? The person got so upset, left the church. But guess what? Prune the tree. Totally cool. Because when you're opening up demonic portals, you're welcoming the enemy into whatever it is that you're doing. And people hated me and probably still hate me. And it's okay. Jesus said the world will hate you because of me. But listen, if I don't deal with this stuff, if I don't handle it, the church is in trouble. If God gives me a dream, I better respond. I better have a vision or something. I got to respond. People say, oh, but I smoke weed because I need it. It's a soothing agent. It's a relaxer. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's a lie from devil himself. Praise God. That's a lie. It is a lie. Marijuana, let's just call it what it is. Marijuana is a depressant. It is a gateway drug. It is a false spirit. How about this? Alcohol. It is a false spirit. It doesn't make you feel better. It doesn't take away your pain. What it actually does is it robs you of your pain. It keeps you bound. It's so bad now because there are many that says, well, at least weed is legal. I'm not breaking any laws. Alcohol, it's legal. I'm not breaking any laws. Cigarettes, it's legal. I'm not breaking any laws. Isn't it funny? You don't see an alcohol, liquor, wine, and spirit store in suburban neighborhoods? I wonder why. It's only found in urban communities. You can find a liquor store on every corner in an urban community. And you have big signs, 20% off, vodka, 20% off for Christmas, rum. Ooh, put this in your coquito. Oh, I'm hitting it today, ain't I? Praise God. I'm hitting it today, 20%, 50% off for all you Spanish folks. 151. How do you know, Pastor? Because I was a drinker. I was a pothead. I know all the tricks. That's why my kids can't get over on it. You ever heard that saying, it takes one to know one? Yeah. You can't play. Weed is legal. Alcohol is legal. I'm not breaking any laws, but you are breaking laws. You're breaking spiritual laws. Let's talk about that. Proverbs 8:29. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. I got to stop here. Let me draw a line. Please listen to me. Please listen to me, saints of the Most High God. There are those that have reached out to the pastors and other leaders and other brothers and sisters and say things like, please pray for my brother. Please pray for my sister. They're so addicted. They're so down. I got a son that's going through recovery. We know what it's like. There are so many that say, pray, pray, pray. I could pray till I'm purple. I could pray till I have polka dots. I could pray till I have stripes on my body. But if they're not ready to submit themselves to the Lordship of Christ, there's nothing that I'm going to be able to do for your family or pray somebody out of their hole. Because the minute you pray for them and they turn around, they reopen the door. They need Jesus. I'm going somewhere with this. Pastor, please pray. They need deliverance. Well, are they saved? Because if I pray and the demon comes out and they reopen the portal, guess what? Their position now is even worse than it was before I prayed, because now seven more abominations enter into their heart and their case is now more wicked than it was before we started to pray. There's a deeper issue involved. Praise God. Give your partner an elbow, please, in the name of Jesus. Elbow. Elbow time. It's elbow time for everybody in the room. It's time to wake up. I'm not letting no one sleep this day. I say this in love. Just a little. Come on. Wake up, baby. Come on. Come on. This is going to save your life. This is going to keep you out of the fires of hell. Come on. Wake up. Wake up. Are we back? Are we back? Hallelujah. Here's the problem. Genesis 4:7. It says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? But if you don't do well, then sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. How many Christians are not ruling over it because we have submitted to it so much that it rules over us? We're supposed to rule over the very thing that's trying to kill us. I'm going to say this with respect. This week, a young man in his 50s passed away. Young man, premature death. His whole life was spent doing drugs, all kinds of wicked stuff. But the last 2 years of his life, he got saved, sanctified, spirit-filled. Every time we spoke on the phone, this guy would cry, not tears of pain, but the joy of the Spirit of God. He was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, the most rarest form of stomach cancers. This guy was young, was fit, was active, but still had a demonic spirit that must have entered into his body. You see, there are consequences to a lifestyle of sin. God is still able to remove you from that, but at the same point, your flesh, your tent, there are consequences. People don't understand this. So he got saved and sanctified and justified, but there was residue. The residue started working out stuff, and he was on stage 4 deathbed, and the Lord raised him up out of the bed for another 2 years. We've had numerous conversations, and just recently he died. And everybody's like, oh, no, he's in the joy of the Lord. Praise God. Listen, this life here is temporal. It doesn't matter. Yes, we all want a legacy, but the real legacy is being a child of the Most High God. God may now use him as a seed to fall to the ground so that the curse is broken on the family. And they could say, well, this young man, the last 2 years, he was always smiling. He was always in the joy of the Lord. And look, he went in peace. Praise God. And I know he's with the Father. But what about me? God's ways are above our ways. How can we claim to serve the Lord and not be surrendered to the lordship of Christ? Instead, we surrender to alternative substances, which opens up spiritual portals and dimensions, and it gives full access to demons, full permission to demons to wreak havoc in your life. Listen, especially those that are suffering from depression and those that suffer from anxiety. Remember, we've been talking about this. Gratitude cancels out anxiety. But those that struggle with these things, anxiety, depression, and all that, the last thing you want to do is get high or get drunk because it's a depressant. And it's these very substances that now amplify, increase your depression. And now, all of a sudden, now you're starting to hear things come out of their mouth that you thought you would never hear. Such as, I don't want to live anymore. I just want to die. I want this pain to go away. I just want to kill myself. I just want to go. I just want this all to end. That's devil worship, demonic stuff that has been opened. People in their right mind don't talk about suicide. These are demonic influences. And they continue to talk and pray. This is it's a mind-boggling thing because the very Christians that are abusing the substances are praying to God to deliver them from the substance, but then they go right back home and open up the bottle, right back home and roll up the joint and smoke it. And now they got even stuff. Quick. Done. Next. Or now they even got vapes. Vapes. THC. Right in the vape. You could buy it in the corner store. God.
I know I'm hitting it in here, and I know it's rubbing some people the wrong way. But I'm telling you, the grace of God be upon you, that he will expose these secrets of the enemy. Romans 6, it says, shall we continue to sin so that God's grace will abound? No, you're cheating the grace of God. We're cheating on Jesus. We're committing spiritual adultery on Jesus when our Lord is really the joint, the bottle, the pill, the pornography, whatever it is. You are replacing Jesus with something else. You can't have it both ways. Do you know that we are supposed to have dominion over the earth and everything in it, except each other? But the reality is that many have surrendered to the vices and have forfeited their dominion. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. You're supposed to rule over the earth, not each other, but over the earth. But when you become habitually addicted, now the earth has taken over the dominion away from you, and all these things, alcohol, drugs, pharmakia, and all the stuff that actually comes from the earth has now polluted you and have you addicted and have taken away your authority and now has the power to govern, rule over you. The earth and the plants. How about that? Think about that. Plants, twigs, roots, weeds, all the stuff where the pills themselves come from, where the joints come from, where the alcohol comes, the tobacco leaves, all the stuff has now taken revenge on mankind. You're supposed to rule over that, and now that rolls over you. And that, look at how sick this is. That now steals the money out of your purse, steals the money out of your pocket, out of your job. It takes away your money. It takes away your family. It takes away your passion. It takes away your purpose. How about this? It takes away your health. It takes away your skin. It takes away your teeth. It rots your teeth. It makes you look, when you're a 30-year-old, like you're a 60-year-old. And it even takes your life. Premature death. Proverbs says, as a drunk man staggers in his vomit. What a horrible way to die. How many celebrities have perished by asphyxiation in their own vomit? Dying in their sleep, choking on throw up. That's what that means. How many cocaine overdoses, heroin overdoses, drug-related overdoses? I have personally, my wife and I have personally seen a Christian woman die from alcoholism. Many people don't think about this, but alcohol is horrible. I've seen it. Her liver was so polluted that it was dead. Her organs inside began to liquefy. And little by little, it was the most painful, excruciating. There was blood coming out of her eye, out of her nose, out of her ears, out of her fingernails, blood. And her kids and her husband were wiping the blood away off of her because every open way from her body was leaking blood and pus. Alcohol. It seems beautiful at the moment, but it kills you. She was saved. She had gotten saved. For a whole year, her last year of life, she had gotten saved. And then the alcohol finally killed her. But she was a child of God. But again, consequences of sin, right? Her husband got saved, and now the whole family got saved. But it took her death for the whole family to finally come to the cross. God knows what he's doing. Her prayers were not unanswered. Her life now is in glory. But her family now will meet her in glory someday.
Listen, and I close, not close, but I'm going to close this topic, this uncomfortable topic, with these words. If you think that by drinking and getting high or medicating yourself is actually helping, it's not. It's killing you slowly. But what you're doing by showing others while you're going to church on Sunday but going home, you're saying that this is helping you. It's actually stating out loud and proud that Jesus Christ is not enough. You're basically saying without words, I don't trust Jesus to heal me of my depression. I don't trust Jesus to heal me from my anxiety. I don't trust Jesus to heal me from my pain. But I trust alcohol. But I trust the weed. But I trust the pills. I trust my sexual partner. I trust my toxic friends. I trust my counselor. I trust my self-help book. But I don't trust Jesus at all. You cannot open demonic doors and then ask God to keep closing them for you. And now I'm going to say this to those enablers. Praise God. Here it comes. Because I got to hit, I'm an equal opportunity offender. I got to hit everybody. You ready for this? Parents, spouses, friends, loved ones, co-workers, if you are making excuses for those in your life to remain high, remain drunk or inebriated, or to continually open up spiritual portals and dimensions, you yourself need to repent because you are an enabler. You are part of the problem. I'm saying it in the Spirit of God. The enemy has you bound as well into believing that Jesus isn't enough. Here's some quotes. I said this one earlier. The enemy can only tempt you with what you want. Think about this. What doesn't get healed will ultimately kill. Excuses keep you from your destiny. You are whatever you tolerate. Today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. Focus on your fleshly desires and you will be held captive by them. Here's some good ones. Passion for God drives out the lust for other things in life. There are things that God wants to teach you that break the power of things that try to hold you. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to get better from here on out. Hallelujah. But I had to go there. Christ is the only door. Remember, he's not just a door. He's the only door. There is no other door to forgiveness. There is no other door to a new life. There is no other door to heaven. There is no other door to eternal life. Many try to find other doors to avoid the only true door. And there are those that look religious, but they're literally trying to find other ways to circumvent going through the door. They use the door of baptism. Well, I was baptized. Or communion or church membership. They give to the church financial doors. They go through charities. They go through worship doors. Well, I worship to the Lord. They go through doors of entertainment. They go through doors of education, political affiliation doors, behavioral doors. They go through doors of personal merit. Good works doors. How many do good works and thinks they're doing right for God? How about this? They're keeping it real. Honesty doors. Hallelujah. I'm just keeping it real. Keeping it real. Yeah, keep it real. Repent and die to yourself. Hallelujah. Performing talents. I got great skills, talents. I'll do that for Jesus. How about this? Cult doors. False Christ doors. False doctrine doors. How about this? Hospitality. I welcome the homeless into my house. I cook meals for the homeless. That doesn't cut it. Praise God. Maintaining the temple. I clean the church. I vacuum the rug. That doesn't cut it. Hallelujah. And I could go on and on. The reality is all these doors fail. Christ alone is the only door, the only door that matters. Acts 4:12 says, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Christ is the only door to those who believe. Jesus said in verse 9 of our morning's passage, if anyone enters by me, that means the door is always open to anyone who comes through Jesus. Anyone who comes to him, the Bible says, whoever comes to me, right? John 3:16, we know this verse and we love it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Romans 10:13, it says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, I'm gonna show you something. It's going to blow you away. Many of us know that Revelation chapter 4 is the foreshadowing of the rapture of the church, okay? But I want you to see something as I read Revelation 4, 1. You got to see this. This is super powerful. Listen. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing up in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place. Here Jesus, the door of heaven, is standing in heaven in glory and calls John up to give him the revelation, which is the book of Revelation, the vision. This is a foreshadowing of the rapture of the church being caught up, harpazo, translated, hallelujah. Are you ready to hear the trumpet, the voice of the Lord standing open door in heaven saying, come up here? Regrettably, not many are going to be available because their ears are going to be shut to the voice of the door. Think about this. The parable of the 10 virgins. Matthew 25:10. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding, and then the door was shut. All those who deny the door, one day that door is going to now be closed. Just like it closed on those at the ark that laughed at Noah for 120 years and said, I ain't got no time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. I don't want no time for that. I ain't got no time for that. Now the door goes boom. Boom, boom, let me in. No, now you got time for that, right? He's been saying for 120 years, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. The ark is the only way in. This is the only safety shelter for you. This is the only way. The door is the only way of salvation. Enter through the door. This is the only way. Ain't nobody got time for that. You go ahead and keep doing that. The door is always open to those who repent. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. That means even in your sinful transgression, God said, I still love you. I ain't giving up on you. I want you to come to me. The door is open for you. It's not going to be open forever. God will not strive with man forever, but it's open. Jesus said, all in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me will by no means be cast out. That means every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every race, Jesus is the door. He's not just the door to black people. I'm going to hit it. Jesus is not just the door to black people or white people. Jesus is not just the door to red people, to brown people, to yellow people. He's the door to all people. We're the only ones that see color. It's mind-boggling to me. The cancel culture nowadays is so demonic. Praise God. I'm grateful to God for those that don't look at color. Romans 10:12. It says, there is no distinction for those that there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, for the same Lord is over all. The same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Let me just say this. There's a song by Russ Taff, again, 80s Christian song. It's called We Will Stand. But listen to the chorus. It says, you're my brother. You're my sister. So take me by the hand. Together we will work until he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. So long as there is love, we will stand. Why that song? Let me tell you why. This is not a Spanish church because we have a Puerto Rican pastor at the altar. This is not a black church because we have a black pastor from Africa. This is not a white church. This is not a Korean church. This is not a Russian church. This is the church of God. This is a church of diverse people, every tribe, every nation, every tongue. This is what heaven looks like. We've got to get past pigmentation. We've got to get past it. You're my brother. You're my sister. So take me by the hand. Together we will work until he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us if we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. Praise God. I love you. You love me. Let's love each other. Get past the flesh. Get past pigmentation. Listen, do you know that we had played one of these songs? I think it was I Will Call on the Name of Jesus, the one we played today. And there was a song, Digno, Dios tú eres digno. One guy left our church and he told people, I'm leaving the church because I don't like the direction they're headed. Because we sang a chorus in Spanish? Are you kidding me? You know what? Deuces. Peace out. Go somewhere that you could find where you ain't going to see different people of ethnicities and all that. I'd rather be yoked up with everybody. Hallelujah. All colors, all nations. That, I think that's the beauty of the gospel. I think it's so beautiful when we could come together collectively and show the world, yes, we can. This is how it's done. I'm coming to a close. Finally, right? Praise God. Those who enter the door will find salvation. Jesus said, he will be saved and he will go in and out and find pasture. Praise God. This is those who enter the door, part of the sheepfold. Those that are part of the sheep of God, that they hear the voice of the shepherd. I love it when everybody starts, I'm a sheep, man. I'm a sheep. Praise God. I need a shepherd. I'm not the good shepherd. I'm not even the anointed one. Praise God. I'm a sheep. I'm a sheep like everybody else in this room. I need the shepherd every day. I want my ear to be open so I hear the voice of the shepherd. Sometimes stuff get in there. Hallelujah. Try to clog up your voice, clog up your hearing. I can hear the voice of my God. A lot of people go in and they find faith and family and fellowship. They go out and they serve and they search. And I love this. And they soul snatch. Hallelujah. Those that believe, the part of the sheepfold, they come in and they find grace and growth and maturity. They go out and show the light, the liberty, and the life in Christ. It's not just a stay still kind of a life. It's a life of service unto the Lord. I'm going to give you a final illustration. This I just love. When I read this, I cried. Because there's so much evil being done to little children. But listen to this. This is an actual picture. Pastor Shadrach may know of this place. This is called the door. There is a small metal door painted white on the side of a tiny mission church in Johannesburg, South Africa. This door is literally changing lives. On it are painted the words, Door of Hope. This is exactly what it is for various babies within the city. On an average, some 40 to 50 babies were being abandoned on the streets to die of exposure or starvation within a month. That was before the mission installed their door to a baby bin. Allowing mothers to anonymously deposit their unwanted babies and have someone love them and care for them. Now this very mission is saving over 100 babies a year. What an incredible door. This door is surely a door to life for many small little babies who were hopeless before they went through the door of hope. But there is another great door that takes in the unwanted and saves lives and brings hope to all who go through it. And again, Jesus said, I am the door. Jesus can open up doors that no one can close. Isaiah 22:22, the king of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder, so he shall open and no one shall shut, and he shall shut and no one shall open. Are you making sure this morning and every day that you're walking through the right door? Are you prepared to go through the door of life? Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Revelations 3:8, it says, I know your works. He's talking to the church in Philadelphia. He says, see, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, but you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Let this be our portion. The door remains open for you this morning, and as long as you shall live, that door remains open for you. Even with little strength, God says, walk through the door, and it will come to you life and freedom and liberty. Revelations 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says to the churches. Reject all falsely labeled doors. Come to Christ, the door, just as you are. Christ, the door to heaven, awaits you. Open arms. God bless you, saints of the Most High, living God.
We are so grateful to God for allowing us the opportunity to share this message with you. Thank you for listening. We want you to know that you are all in our constant prayers. If you've been blessed by today's program, why not consider partnering with us? To make a donation is easy. You can visit us online at www.specchurch.net, or you can call us at 845-956-0133. Once again, that's www.specchurch.net or 845-956-0133. We invite you to worship with us one Sunday morning soon. Thank you again for your prayers and support. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you.